This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
We're here today with Heather Connolly, Senior Fellow and Director for the Europe Program, as well as Francois Delmas, Visiting Fellow for the Europe Program. Ms. Connolly and Mr. Delmas both contributed to the recent report, Key Players in Global Health, How Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa are influencing the game. Specifically, the two co-wrote the chapter entitled Global Health and the G8, G20 Agenda After Seoul, Assessing the French Presidency and Its Priorities. Ms. Connolly and Mr. Delmas, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you briefly explain the G8's focus on global health?
Yes, the group of most industrialized countries, which was created to develop a strategy to mitigate significant economic aftershocks of oil embargo and recession in the 70s, has been extending its portfolio over the years with tasks ranging from security and crisis management to development. But it had not focused on global health in a major way till the 2005 Gleneagles Summit, when leaders committed to add $50 billion in new overseas development assistance over a five-year period in order to accelerate achievement of the UN's Millennium Development Goals. And as you know, three of the eight Millennium Development Goals are devoted to global health. It is a reduced child mortality, improvement of maternal health, and combat AIDS, malaria, and other diseases. So some commitments still need to be fulfilled today. It fell $18 billion short at the last Muscat summit, but championing overseas development aid has turned out to be one of the G8's defining purposes over the past few years. And during its presidency, it is likely that France will wish to highlight the G8's important work in development in Africa with a renewed focus on implementing G8 development commitments.
The paper mentions that typically the G8 is the body to address and fund issues of official development assistance, such as global health. What requirements are needed for the G20 to embrace global health as a key priority?
So the G20, as a premier international forum for coordinating economic policies, had not been really considered as a relevant framework for tackling larger development or global health issues by its members until the launching of the Seoul Consensus and that of a multi-year action plan under the G20 South Korean presidency. In this consensus, development is considered as part of a shared growth policy in rather general terms. Yet, this is an important step which could pave the way for stronger commitment. But the migration from G8 to G20 will be effective only if or when its leaders first see incentives to launch new initiatives, to decide to organize themselves, and to reach some kind of agreements on development policies. And it requires that BRICS countries and Mexico, Turkey, for instance, reach a consensus that G20 is indeed the proper forum to pursue a broader global development health agenda. So the whole question is to know how the G8 members can increase emerging countries' sense of ownership and responsibility in development policies. And emerging economies that are still consumers of development assistance will probably want to rethink the whole issue of development. So you won't get a mere extension or a transition. Developed countries may have to compromise with countries that will challenge the way developed countries have worked so far.
And Heather, I'll turn to you now. Is it in Europe and the G8's interest to extend the group of sponsors to emerging economies?
Yes, certainly. And this is a key priority of the French presidency, to take the gains at the Seoul G20 summit on the consensus declaration and try to move the emerging economies into a position where they are not simply recipient countries, but they are becoming and growing into donor countries. Europe prides itself, and certainly the European members of the G8, in addition to Canada and Japan, have really prided themselves on their substantial commitments to the Millennium Development Goals, to overseas development assistance, but they see a moment of transformation, of transition, to allow the emerging economies who are doing much better right now and more quickly recovering in the global economy to make that contribution. This will not be an easy transition. There's certainly great reluctance among the G20 members, the emerging economies, to embrace this agenda. Many of them still see themselves as recipients and don't want to reduce necessarily that flow of assistance that's going towards them. We're seeing nascent growth in the emerging economies towards becoming more robust donors, but the challenge will be as the European sovereign debt crisis continues to wreak some havoc on European spending, and particularly on their development assistance spending. We'll have to see if they Europe deaccelerates its spending, the emerging economies accelerate in time, so we have a steady and robust flow of ODA to those countries who need it the most.
What is the likelihood that French President Nicolas Sarkozy will seek to transition development assistance to the G20 and emerging economies?
The challenge for President Sarkozy is managing a very large and ambitious agenda. When President Sarkozy recently visited with President Obama, he spoke of many things about the shaping of the G20 agenda, from currency reform to trying to manage these wild swings in commodities and mitigate speculation, in addition to a broad range of issues. So it's going to be a challenge for the development agenda to be a priority. I think we're going to see, in addition to the global health imperatives, we're going to see food security, I think, playing a larger role as part of both the G8 and the G20 agendas if global food prices continue to spike. So it's getting the priority right and pushing the issue. I think President Sarkozy has very strong interest in doing this. It's a question if others agree with him and whether he's able to forge this agenda. I think you'll see the G8 countries, the developed countries, probably not putting forward new initiatives in global development and global health. You'll see them repackaging initiatives. You'll see them calling for greater efficiencies, greater accountability of those large multinational programs that are working in this space. I think you'll see some very creative repackaging of old initiatives and old pledges that will make to be sound that they are new, but they aren't new money. We're going to have some very creative accounting of their development aid accounts, and it's going to be very difficult, quite frankly, to understand where these trend lines are going. We are following this at CSIS very closely, how the economic crisis in Europe is impacting a range of issues, but I think particularly in the development assistance arena, where 80% of global overseas development assistance is provided by the United States and Europe, should the economic crisis and some would argue a political crisis and providing foreign aid, if these resources begin to diminish, who steps in? And it's going to be very interesting to see if the emerging countries, the emerging economies, the G20 members decide it's their time to step in or no one steps in. So we'll wait and see.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. For all those listeners who are interested in reading the full report, please go to www.smartglobalhealth.org and click on the Publications tab.